Well, I want to get to the Word of God this morning. This is actually the third message that we've been preaching on this subject of Jesus Christ, the hope for mankind. And I tell you, I like preaching about hope because people need it. Today, I want to talk about the transforming power of hope. David declared in Psalms 42:5, he said, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his presence." He was giving us a profound truth of how to turn depression into joyful confidence. No matter how perplexing life may seem at times, no matter how depressing things may seem at times, no matter how life may change our mood, thank God that because of Jesus, we can declare that my hope and my expectation is from Him. Because when you are in Christ, there is a divine dynamic working on the inside that produces the transforming power of hope. Can I get an amen? So I want to talk to you about that today. And I want to draw your attention to the book of Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 to 6, and also verse 13. All right, Romans chapter 15, listen to what this says. God is a God of hope. He says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So he's talking about the writings of the Old Testament. He goes on and he says this, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus." So the Bible says that God is a God of patience. I find the older that I get, the thinner is my patience level. And I have to bring that under the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says right here that God is a God of patience and comfort. And then he says that he will grant us that same characteristic, that we can exemplify that to other people. That's what he's telling us right here in this verse of Scripture. He goes on in verse 6. He says that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, even as Christ has received us to the glory of God. Then in verse 13, it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." See, the reason why the world lacks hope is because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Only born-again children of God possess the Holy Spirit. So the Bible tells us right here that God is a God of hope, and He will fill us with joy and peace in our faith, that we may abound in hope. In other words, that it just flows out of our lives. We are talking about the favor of God just flowing out of our lives because God is a God of hope. So I want to take a few moments today to address a couple of questions. So the first question that I want to address is this: why do I need hope? Why do I need it? Why is hope so vital? Why is it so important? I think it's a good question to consider. So why do I need hope? Well, just a couple of thoughts in answering this question. First of all, I need hope because without Christ, life is hopeless. Can I get an amen? How many of you realize that without Jesus, there is no hope? I love what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 13. He says, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. That is simply a phrase that is used for those who have passed on. He says, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. So right here, Paul is telling us that we must have our hope, our faith, our confidence is in Jesus Christ. I love the Greek word for the word hope. It simply means a favorable and a confident expectation. That's what hope is. A favorable and confident expectation. The Word of God is telling us that there is a better day coming. Hallelujah. Thank God that there's a better day coming. Jesus came to this earth, born in a stable, raised as a carpenter's son. He went riding into Jerusalem on a donkey prior to his crucifixion. But the Word of God tells us that he's coming back on a white horse. And his name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My friends, that is our confident expectation, that there's going to be a better day. It brings our attention to eternity. So my friends, life without Christ is hopeless. And this is why so many people are living hopeless lives, because they don't have Jesus. Religion can't give it to you. Money can't give it to you. I know a lot of people think money can buy you happiness. Well, you know, it kind of can in many ways, but it can't buy you love. Come on, somebody. Y'all seem a little sleepy this morning. I might have to say some jokes or something to wake y'all up. But you know, people put their hope in so many things, but it doesn't provide what only Jesus can give. Amen. We're talking about an eternal expectation. So why do I need hope? Because first of all, without Christ, life is hopeless. Here's a second reason. Why do I need hope? Because life can drain you spiritually and emotionally. I mean, this life, if you live this life long enough, you're going to come to some moments when you don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. You don't have the answer. You are going to need the help of God. My friends, why do we need hope? Because life can drain you spiritually and emotionally. Look at this verse of Scripture, Proverbs 17, verse 22. It says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Now that's an interesting verse of Scripture. And it is teaching us that life can drain you spiritually and emotionally. It can drain you because of all of the negative things in this world. See, living in this dark world can beat you down. It can steal your hope. It can dash your dreams. And the Scripture talks about a broken or a wounded spirit. But I like that it starts out with a positive thought, because it says that a merry heart, there is something about joy on the inside. There's something about happiness on the inside. Thank God that it is like a medicine. Thank God that the joy of the Lord is our strength. When the angel announced the birth of Jesus, what was the announcement? Great joy shall be to all people. Isn't that right? Great joy shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Thank God that Jesus gives us that joy. And a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So the Scripture talks about a broken or a wounded spirit. Some translations use the word wounded. A broken or a wounded spirit. What is that? let's define what that is today. And maybe get a little better understanding of what God's Word is saying to us. That word broken, or that word wounded, it's this Hebrew word. It means to be defeated, overwhelmed, afflicted, wounded, crushed. That's the definition. And that pretty much defines people's lives in the world in which we live. Defeated, overwhelmed, afflicted, wounded, and crushed. And that's why you and I must hold the hope of the gospel. We've got to give people life. They don't need religion. They need life. They need Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can give them life. So the scripture is talking about a broken or a wounded spirit. So why do I need hope? Because this life can drain me spiritually and emotionally. See, a wounded spirit is an injury to your soul. That's what it is. And the soul is the area of your mind, the area of your emotions, the area of your will, your feelings. That, my friends, is where you feel the pain. Because that's where your real expression is. So if someone is sad, if someone is depressed, the reason is varied and multiplied. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why people have that experience. But where does it really happen? It's a problem in the area of a person's soul. Depression is in the soul. It is in the realm of emotions. The lack of joy is in the realm of the emotions. I mean, you don't have to walk too far in this world. You can go to the grocery store. You can go to Walmart. You can go to a restaurant. And you will find people who are dealing with an area in their soul, an injury in their soul that has affected their minds, their emotions, and their will. And it's like a cloud that just kind of walks around with them, hangs over them. Because whatever they've gone through in life has injured them. Has anybody ever gone through some disappointments? Yeah, absolutely. Had any heartache? You know, people let you down. You know, relationships didn't work out. You know, maybe you didn't get that job you were banking, that promotion you were believing for. You know, whatever it was, all of those things affect us in the realm of our soul. So why do I need God? Why do I need His hope? Because life can drain me spiritually and emotionally. And that happens in the realm of our soul. And that's why you see so many negative people in the world in which we live. It's because their soul is wounded. Their soul has been injured. And there's only one prescription that can heal that. Only one. And that's why the Bible says that Jesus Christ is a life-giving spirit. When He comes in, my friends, He imparts life, He imparts freedom, He imparts liberty, and He restores joy. And that's why the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank God for that. Because the soul must be renewed. It comes under the power of the Holy Spirit, and it is renewed. That's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God is with me. He says He restores my soul. Why? Because of the injuries of life. Why do I need hope? Because without Christ, life is hopeless. Life can drain you spiritually and emotionally. And now we come to the good part. Here's the second question that I want to answer today. Second question is this. How does God fill me with hope? How does He do it? I love Jeremiah 29:11. Because God imparts a dream for your life. He imparts a dream. Think of this. Jeremiah 29:11. This is an incredible verse. For I know the plans that I have for your life, says the Lord. Plans to bless you and prosper you and to give you an expectation, or to give you a future. That is what God's plan for our life is. God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a calling. He has a future for you and I. I know the thoughts that I have for you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future, to give you a hope. That, my friends, is God's purpose for our lives. Consider this. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, verse 9 to 10. Listen to what this says. And I want you to put yourself in this verse of Scripture. Listen to what this says. Because he says this, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions, and I said to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you, and I have not cast you away. Now, this is a messianic prophecy. In other words, this prophetic word, it has an application to the very person of Jesus Christ. But here's the good news. The Bible says, for every born-again child of God, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible teaches that He is our kinsman redeemer. So you and I, we step into the provision of this verse. We step into this promise of this prophetic word. All right, because the Bible says that He's called us out. If you are a born-again child of God, you've been called out of this world. You may be in it, but you're not of it. That's what Jesus said. You're in it, but you're not of it. You have been called out of it. It no longer holds power or control over your life. We have to live in it, but we are not of it. We are not of the spirit of this world. Because it says right here, He has called us out of it. And we are now His people. We are His servants. I have chosen you, and I have not cast you away. So God says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now that's a great statement. That's a promise of God, my friend. We used to sing a song years ago. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, all the blessings of His love divine, every promise in the book is mine. So how does God fill me with hope? He imparts a dream. See, the devil wants us to resign from life. Can I get a witness? The devil wants you to resign from life. He wants you to check out. But God wants you to believe, and He wants you to imagine what can be. Hallelujah. So if you dream with God, my friends, it is unlimited of what the Lord wants to do in and through your life, because He is filling you with hope. God is a God of hope. God imparts a dream. We go through the Scripture, and we find that illustrated. The Bible says Joseph in the book of Genesis had a dream, and God spoke to him in that dream, and he saw the future, and God gave him a prophetic word in a dream, and he saw all of his brethren bowing down before him. Now Joseph is an interesting story. Sold into slavery, he was despised by his brothers, hated by his brothers. Can you imagine your brothers and sisters hating your guts? Some of you say, yeah, they do. Well, that's exactly what happened with Joseph. His brothers hated his guts, sold him into slavery. But Joseph had dreamed a dream, and he saw all of his brothers bowing down before him. He did not understand what that dream meant until sold into slavery, brought out of the pit, promoted to the palace, became the prime minister of Egypt. I mean, only God could do such marvelous things like that. And then a famine hits the land, and here comes his brothers, because they are hungry, and they need food. And Joseph has power over all. He was sitting in a position of wealth and riches. And here comes the dream being fulfilled. But that his brothers would bow down before his authority. Bow down at his rulership. We even go to the time of Christ in celebration of Christmas. And we find that Joseph, the father, the earthly father, legal father, not physical father, biological father, but the legal father of Jesus Christ, dreamed a dream, warned by God in a dream to get out of the city, go to Egypt, because Herod was going to go on a rampage. See, there's always, when you dream with God, it's always for a future. It has challenges, but it's always for a future and an expectation and a great hope. The devil wants you to resign from life, but God wants you to believe and imagine what can be. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. So how does God fill me with hope? He imparts a dream. Here's the next thing. How does God fill me with hope? He rekindles the fire of hope. I love this verse of Scripture in the Message Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, he puts poor people on their feet again. He rekindles burned out lives with fresh hope, restoring dignity and respect to their lives, a place in the sun. That's the y'all need to bring that up on the Message Bible. If I didn't have that for you, I apologize. What an incredible promise. What an incredible promise of God. He puts people poor people on their feet again. You know, yesterday, I'm ministering to the homeless. You know, everybody out there has a story. And I asked a young guy, looked like he was probably 30-ish. I asked him, standing in front of the mission, I asked him, what was his story? He said, well, I was just released from prison three days ago. And I didn't want to ask him what was his crime. It didn't really matter. You know, but he was just being honest. He said, I was released from prison 3 days ago. And said, I got a job interview on Tuesday. And, you know, just trying to rebuild his life, just living on the streets. Now I don't know, you know, is his family afraid to have him sleep over? Probably so, you know. But, you know, the guy was open to prayer, you know, prayed with him. You know, everybody's got a story. And the Bible says that God puts poor people, those who are down and out, those who are despondent, he puts them on their feet again, and he rekindles, and I love that word, he rekindles burned out lives with hope. Burned out. Man, you might be burned out. You may be trying to figure out how you're going to make it, how you're going to make ends meet, how are you going to get your kids through school. You know, whatever you're dealing with. But the Word of God declares that God is going to revive your hope and your expectation. He can and He will do great things through you. Hallelujah. Man, one of the greatest things that excited me when I became a born-again child of God is I got a revelation that God wanted to use my life. Now, if somebody would have told me When I was 18, if somebody would have told me that I would preach the gospel, I would be a minister, I would pastor a church, I would have told them, whatever you smoking, pass it. Come on, somebody. But listen, when God is in the mix, because the Word, it says it right here. It says He rekindles burned out lives with fresh hope. Oh, thank God. Wherever you are in life, whatever you're dealing with, it's not finished. It's not over. That's why I you don't know what I've done. Ha ha, you don't know what I've done. I'm here to tell you that He can restore, He can rebuild, because He is a God of hope, and He will rekindle the fire of hope in your life. So how does God fill me with hope? He's going to impart a dream. He's going to rekindle the fire. Here's the next thing. He will restore your expectation. Man, I love this one. I love the character of Job in the Bible. Because the Bible says that God gave a testimony about Job. And the testimony, how many of you know when God gives a testimony about you, that's saying something. And God had a word to the devil. And He said, Job is the most righteous man on the face of the earth. That's saying something. So then old Slewfoot in his accusations, in his darkness, you know, he said, well, the reason why he serves you, God, is because you have put this hedge around him. He's wealthy. He's healthy. You know, everything is just going right for him. He said, if you'll just let me attack him, I'm telling you, he'll curse you to your face. God has a way to shut the devil's mouth. Hallelujah. So He gave him permission to test him. If you've never read the book of Job, it's an interesting book. What an incredible character study. Because Job lost everything. He lost all of his wealth. He lost his children. He lost everything. Even his wife was cursing him. Now, when your wife begins to curse you, it's going to be a bad day. Your wife don't even believe in you. Your life is so messed up, forget it, man. Job went through all of that. But I love these words in Job 4:4. Because it is God who restores expectations. Job did not understand what was happening to him. He did not have the definitions or the explanations. But he still maintained a faith in God. Hallelujah. He still believed the Lord. We may not always have the explanations. We can't always explain why things happen the way they do. We don't have all the answers. Can we just admit that? We don't have all the answers. You know, as a minister of the gospel, I don't have all the answers. But I know one day everything will be clear. And God will restore expectation. So Job said this in Job 4:4. He said, your words have put stumbling people on their feet. Put fresh hope in people about to collapse. Oh my, what an incredible word. I love this next one. This one is in Job chapter 14, verse 7. He says, for a tree there is always hope. Chop it down, and it still has a chance. Its roots can put out fresh sprouts. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Now listen, I can identify with that. You know, on our new property, on our new lots over here, we got three different sections of banana trees. And I have whacked those things down. Somebody just whacked them down for us, but they didn't clean them up. So if y'all notice the banana trees out there, I don't know who cut them. I don't know if it was Entergy, Cox Cable, the neighbor, but I'm glad they cut them down. But I'm here to tell you, them suckers are going to come back. Because I done cut them down like twice. You know, the last time, it's kind of a funny story, the last time I cut them down, we were dealing with a dead dog carcass in the front of the new property. And, you know, and I had Heather, call Jefferson Parrish, see if they'll come pick up this dead dog and get it off of the property. And it wasn't a little dog. It was a big dog. It looked like a Neapolitan Mastiff or something. I don't know. But it was a big dog. And he was out there. He'd been dead for a long time. And all four legs were sticking out. Becky knows this is the truth. So we called Jefferson Parish. You know, they took note of it. Waited, I think, a week, 2 weeks. And nobody came pick up the dog. We called them again. Okay, so the second call, they tell us, well, if the dog is not within 4 feet of the highway, we don't come pick them up. Oh, well, that's just great. So then I said, well, we'll just wait till he disintegrates. But it was cool weather months, and that dog wasn't going nowhere. I'm serious. So I'm out there whacking down the banana trees one day. I got my truck over there, got the chainsaw. So I get this bright idea that I'm gonna become a funeral director. And I'm gonna cremate this dog. So I pull my truck over there. I had gas for the chainsaw. He's been dead for weeks. So y'all gonna laugh at this. It's stupid. It was dumb. So I throw gas on this dog and I set him on fire. Not realizing in the cool weather months, everything is dead. So the lot catches on fire. Fire is going under my truck. Becky's in the office. She didn't even know what's going on. I call 911. I said, ma'am, I said, I'm the pastor of the church over here. I said, I've been trying to get rid of this dead dog carcass, so I set it on fire. I said, but I think I need you to send the fire department. Listen, this is no lie. The 911 operator said, you set a dog carcass on fire? I said, yes, ma'am. So, Poe Brothers was working on the street. They saw me in distress. They came running over with buckets of water and doused the fire. But the fire department's two blocks away. So here comes three fire engines. So the fire department comes. Jefferson Parish Police Department comes. They came later. Fire department comes and fireman says, well, I don't know what they're going to do about this one. He said, but the police are all on the way. He said, it's not a criminal charge because the dog's dead. All my stories are true. So the police come out. Policeman said, I'm going to have to call my sergeant on this one. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about this. I could see the headlines. Local pastor arrested for practicing funeral cremation without a license. Oh, my, 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 my. And all because of banana trees. But thank God you can cut it down. Listen, your life may be cut down. You may have repeated blows of failures and disappointments. But thank God there is always hope. There is always hope because the Bible says for a tree there is always hope. Cut it down. It still has a chance. Its roots can put out fresh sprouts. For the dog, it's over. Funny thing is, the fire department came with a bag and they picked up the carcass. And I said, that's what I've been trying to get y'all to do for 6 weeks. Sometimes you got to take measures into your own hands. Here's my last thing. I love this one. This is in the book of Lamentations. Listen, understand this. How does God fill me with hope? He imparts a dream for your life. He rekindles a fire of hope. He will restore your expectation. Regardless of the repeated blows of failures, disappointment, whatever you've gone through, my friends, just put your hope in God. Because the Bible says He is a God of comfort, of hope, and of expectation. And He will fill you. Because God will bring you into His faithfulness. You ever feel that you've just been unfaithful to God? You ever feel like you just don't measure up? Listen, the Bible says that our salvation and our relationship with God, it is based upon the faithfulness of Christ and Christ alone. We will mess up. We will fail. As long as we are living in these bodies, we will have mistakes in our lives. We will have situations and circumstances, but God will bring us into His faithfulness. Lamentations 3, He says, I remember it all. Oh, how well I remember the feeling of hitting the bottom. Think of this. But there's one other thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness? Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for that. How great is your faithfulness? It's a classic hymn of the faith. Great is thy faithfulness. Thy mercies are new every morning. How great is your faithfulness? He says, I'm sticking with God. Say it over and over. He's all I've got left. He's saying, make a declaration. I'm sticking with God. He says, say it every day. I'm sticking with God. Make it a faith proclamation. I'm sticking with God. Because He's all I've got. And you know the greatest thing about that? He's all I've got.